This audio sermon is provided by AnabaptistSermons.com and may be freely copied and distributed. You may not sell or edit this sermon. Our prayer is that you would be blessed by this ministry.
I trust God's presence here can this morning lead us in a way that brings us closer to Him. Thinking about a law that God had established a long time ago that affects us physically, spiritually, affects us eternally as well. Some of the effects that we see can be seen in old age. Some are already evident in youth. Some effects of this may never be seen until eternity. We won't find this term under the headings of the doctrines of the Bible, and yet it's a great truth of the Bible. It's one of the most foundational truths of Scripture that involves our everyday living. And that is the topic or the message of sowing and reaping. And that's where I'd like to take the text from in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 9 specifically. This is nothing new. It's nothing that we haven't heard before. We've been blessed in Christian homes to have teaching of sowing and reaping. Especially in our younger years, it's encouraged for us to make wise choices, to look into the future. And therefore, we have been able to avoid many pitfalls or other temptations. And that's a blessing. But I think it's something that we need to be reminded again and again of the absolutes of the law of sowing and reaping. Now verse 7 in Galatians 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There are many scriptures that have to do with this principle or this truth, but this seems to be the most concise, the most clear, and therefore I chose it. You know, for every action, there is going to be a result. In my side column, it says a spiritual action and a reaction. There's going to be an effect of the decision that we make today in our future. It's the law of life that absolutely does not change, and that is what we do today will affect us tomorrow. We can see in this passage here that, or in these few verses, that there are two ways that it can affect us. It can affect us negatively or positively. We can be blessed through this law of sowing and reaping. It can be a tremendous reward, or I anticipate a tremendous reward, but it can also be a curse. It can leave scars on our hearts as well. The basis of this law, I think, was instituted in creation. I think it was the third day. When God created the vegetation, I think He specifically mentions the grass, the herb, and the fruit. And within each one, He created seed that produces after its kind. All the seed produces after its kind. And that's true today. If we plant soybeans, we expect to reap soybeans. We will reap soybeans. If we plant seed or if we plant corn, we cannot expect to harvest a bunch of pumpkins. It just never works that way. And that's the principle that is applying here as well. What we plant is going to grow. And I think it's the same in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives. The seeds that we plant and cultivate will grow and will affect us. When we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption, as it says in verse 8. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This morning I'd like to look at those two sides so that each of us can take time to evaluate, really, what seed am I sowing today? Before I do so, I'd like to take a note of the warning that Paul gives to the Galatians in verse 7. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." I don't think the Galatian church is any different from us or that we are any superior to the Galatian church. And therefore, I think we ought to take heed of this warning. You know, it's pretty easy for me to have the mentality that although this certain instance happened to you and you suffered the consequences, for some reason it's easy for me to detach myself and say, but it's not going to happen to me. Well, I recognize that maybe my father made mistakes and I see maybe how it affected him. For some reason, it's easy for me to say that I know better now and I can avoid those pitfalls and the end is going to be all right. Or maybe it's easy for you to think that, well, I realize I'm not spending the time that I should with my family or with the Lord, but someday I'm going to catch up. It's going to be easier when I'm older. I don't think this law or the consequences of this law can be changed or can be outsmarted by intelligence, and neither can it be ignored or avoided by ignorance. You know, before we make decisions today, we need to look ahead and to see how this will affect us. What is going to be the result? And I recognize we can't foretell the future, but God has placed in our hands something that is sure and solid and that has answers for every area in life, and that is the Scriptures. It's our sure guide, and it has proven through time that it has good, lasting, everlasting results. And so therefore, I think we can, according to Scripture, we can base our decisions and have the confidence that the end result is what will be. We also have the blessing of being able to seek advice from godly fathers, from older men and women. And I think that too often that advice may just be disregarded by some of us younger ones. And something that they often say, and that's one thing that we learn from history, and that is we don't learn from history. And especially to us younger ones, maybe we need to take that in consideration and put more value on the advice of elderly. We cannot sow seeds of no value and expect to reap a bountiful harvest. You know, in the CAM seed program, there are many seeds that can be bought in country sometimes, but those seeds aren't very profitable. They only produce less than half of what some other seeds. And therefore, I think sometime or most of the time they import seeds. And that's the way it is for us. If we plant seeds of no value, if we do those things or sow those seeds that are only temporal, we cannot expect to reap a bountiful harvest. God is not going to be mocked. He cannot be deceived by our pretending, and neither will He be mocked by if we sow the thinking that we can reap otherwise in what we sow. The nature of this law is always that it will produce after its kind, and so it will. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I guess the first time that I noticed the word his flesh, and to me that personalizes it to my flesh, my carnal desires, the the carnal nature within me. And I know it's been alluded to this morning before, but self. Self, I think, is the prominent thing in our carnal nature. Self that wants to be gratified. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Self that wants to be glorified. To be lifted up. To be noticed. To be appreciated. And the pride of life. Self that wants power. That wants control of my affairs. The things that I do. The advice that I want to accept. I can handle it. But God sees all of this as sin, as iniquity. In Job 4:8, He makes the observation and He says, "They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Very clear. They that sow iniquity, or they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, reap the same. And again in our text, we notice that the harvest of sowing wickedness is that we will reap corruption. It's the very fruit of that sowing, of that seed. And often its starts are very small. The seed, you know, that we plant is small in relation to its fruit. And so it is in life as well. It grows and multiplies. You know, we may be quick to acknowledge that an immoral and an ungodly, wicked life leads to a terrible destruction, a terrible end. And even physically, we can see how smoking or drinking and other evils have a toll or take their toll on the human body. I remember reading a book written by a man that performs thousands of criminal autopsies. And he says he can look at, as a body comes to him, without knowing anything of that man, he can see by the physical parts of that body, the way the organs are, the different levels of fluid or whatever, and he can say or he can know the life that that man lived. It was amazing to me to read that book. But you know, sin has its consequences. My grandpa smoked for many years. And even after he stopped, those consequences continued on and was probably the main factor in his death. But for some reason, we tend to think that that's a little different category. It's a little bit away from us. But I'd like to ask some questions that I had to ask myself. What about a little bit of pride? The sense of satisfaction of being successful. Do I look at people in different levels of respective authority? Not much, just a little. Can I be willing to hear a brother that disagrees with me? Do things have to be my way? You know, what is the most important thing to us? Are we concerned about the way our house looks? Or are we more concerned about the teaching or the values that our children are learning? You know, and I think of especially youth. You're facing, or you're at the time of life when there's a door of opportunity or much opportunity. Your whole life lays ahead of you. And it's a critical time in life, I feel, because the decisions that you make will affect you and may affect you your entire life. What type of seeds are you planting? Are you placing priority on possessions above availability to God? You know, I was once talking to, I'm not sure, was it one of the directors of Hillcrest or was it of one of our VS units? And he made mention that one of the most common excuses for not coming to service is a car loan. And to me, that's very sad that something like that has priority over service to God. Recently, my father-in-law said that one man said, well, he just bought a four-wheeler and he can't come. That's an awful price to pay, I feel. And that's just an example. There's many other ways that can be done. I'm not just saying it's in that way. But it's sad to me to see youth that sometimes compromise on morals, moral purity, and in years to come will live to regret that. May I take this time to say that if even before you consider a life companion, make sure that you establish a high standard of courtship. And that will turn around to be a blessing to you instead of a regret in later years. You know, you only have one chance, one time that you're young, and you can blow that whole time, and you can waste it unless you plant seeds of value. There is tremendous blessing in committing our lives to Him in all that we do. And I think probably the older you get, you might come in contact with more individuals who have to look back at their youth days or their time of life as a younger person with regret. And that's sad. However, I'm glad that God can take us from where we're at, and He can mold us and shape us into what He has from us, regardless of what we have done in the past. Continuing on, what about a little bit of envy? Just a little bit of jealousy. You know, there's some of you that can do various things to a much better degree than what I can. Am I okay with that? Can I bless you for it? What about a little bit of bitterness or unforgiveness? Those things that cause broken relationships, do I harbor them? Do I continue to sow that type of seed? What about a little bit of lust? Just a little bit. What I allow my eyes to feed on, what I allow my mind to think, those small seeds will grow to be big plants. In Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a miserable place to be at. We sang this morning, there's nothing but sorrow and disappointment. There's nothing out there for a soul that's once known God. Sin's pleasure is only for a moment, and then it's gone. Wanting more, it never fulfills. What about in the area of our speech? What's one little word? But once it's said, it's gone. It's gone forever, and we can't take it back. Yes, we can ask for forgiveness, but the word has been spoken. So as we sow those seeds of words, you know, it can only be a few words, but it can sow seeds of doubt, of discord, of disharmony, and discouragement. Many a man has been brought low by his own choice of words. But I think most of all, the most serious thought, and that is of that the sowing of unrighteousness is that it will bring eternal damnation. The wages of sin is death. And that is something that we must remember. And unless we have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus, we will reap a spiritual death. But I thank God that when this cleansing takes place, that power of this law is changed to a certain degree. And that is, even though that we are sinners, if we have given ourselves to God and confessed and are forgiven, that the destiny is changed. If we remain true and faithful, we can experience that grace and mercy in our lives, that the power of this law is changed. However, I want to be quick to add that the effects of sin are experienced here on this earth, and they will continue on. Though we are forgiven, there are many scars that remain. You know, I have a little finger that was once at a place where it shouldn't have been, and it got very damaged. But you know what? It's all healed up, but there's a scar that will remain until the day I die. And that's a little thing, but sometimes scars in our hearts bring much pain. Even though God has healed us, there are scars. And there's many that look back at wasted years with regret as a result of living in sin. You know, sometimes it may take an entire lifetime to again build a reputation for what one act or one word or something that was said in sin was done. You know, just recently a lady passed away that in her youth allowed herself to be photographed in many indecent photos and was very popular. In later years, she became a born-again believer and refused any more photographs or anything like that. But you know what the world remembers her by? A pin-up artist or a model. You know, those things follow us. And even though that, I don't know completely the situation there, but even though that if she was born again, there are still scars, there's pain that is associated with that. If we're convicted of a felony, that will remain on our record for our lifetime and will have a negative effect oftentimes in different areas of life. Let us not be deceived. God will not be mocked. We cannot expect to sow something that we do not want to reap. Well, praise God that there's in as much as this works to the negatively, it also works to the positively. I think of this as an opportunity, the blessings of looking at the spiritual sowing. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 11, 18 and 19. Read two verses there. The wicked worketh the deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it till his own death. As was mentioned before this morning, the contrasts of life and death. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? I had to think of Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The words that Jeremiah and Hosea had to the children of Israel were to break up their fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. I think surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is very necessary in the transformation. Because we no longer see or we no longer serve ourselves, but we serve a different master. And that master or Lord is Jesus Christ. Our focus is on service to Him, kingdom building. And that will be our aim. To break up our fallow ground, to plow deeply. Sometimes, as I think it's referring there, I would say that it's referring to unproductive, ground that is laid unproductive. And, you know, as we just, for an example, in planting a garden, it takes effort. It takes work to prepare the soil. It takes work to plant and cultivate. And so it is in spiritual sowing as well. You know, to break up our hearts that have laid unproductive isn't always easy. It's painful at times to pull those weeds of sin and continue to cultivate and sow good seeds of truth. You know, sowing seeds doesn't happen by itself. We don't stay in the house and expect to reap in the fall. It takes effort. It takes work. And the scriptures that I found relating to this made that very clear, that it doesn't happen by itself. Maybe for some examples, I think of maybe if you're on the choir, maybe it takes those 3 and 4 programs in one day. It's not easy, but it's sowing the seed. Maybe for teachers or Sunday school class teachers, the extra work that you do above and beyond your normal academics to instill a spiritual truth to an individual is a sacrifice that you may need to make. You know, for mothers, it can be you can have your day all planned out and expect to get things done, but it just may have to wait. It may have to just not work out because your child needs you, either through discipline or through love or time. And the thing to remember is that in 20 years from now, you will no longer have that opportunity. Maybe for us men, it may mean to sacrifice those extra funds that we figure to use to update either our truck or upgrade our truck or do some other, go on a trip somewhere or to just get a little bit of ahead, you know, and use them to fulfill a need. And there's many other things that we could practically apply. It may mean going the second mile in a relationship that you have tried to do all you can, and you must continue on. Spiritual sowing is contrary to our carnal nature, and therefore there is always a continual fight against the enemy. In Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them." It indicates here that there's tears involved, that there's weeping. And often much effort can be put forth, but no visible results. Maybe you have a son or a daughter, or a co-worker, or a relative that you've prayed for, you've talked with, and there just seems to be no results. Well, I'd like to encourage you this morning. Let's look at the practical. If we want a tomato tomorrow for lunch, we will be disappointed if we plant tonight because there will be no evidence of a tomato tomorrow. It takes time, and we must have patience. You know, there are many dark nights in between sowing and reaping. And sometimes that's the way it is in life as well. I like that illustration that Melvin Lehman gave about the bamboo. That for many years you were unable to see that anything was happening. And that's the way it is as well for us. We can't always see results, but we must have patience. In James, he alludes to that as well. I know he's talking about the coming of our Lord, but he says in chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near." The concept there is still that there needs to be patience. There needs to be faithfulness and continuation. The fruit of our efforts may or may not be realized even in our life. But let us not be weary in well-doing, as verse 9 says. This is not a call to earn our salvation, but I think a call to perseverance, a call to continue on in faithfulness, in kingdom building, to continue even when we can't see immediate results. Faithfulness and obedience to the Word of God, I think, can be a continual testimony to those around us, even when it doesn't seem like anything's happening. You know, when a farmer has all his seeds or has done all his planting, there's a sense of satisfaction, I imagine, that he feels. And you know, in spiritual sowing, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. When we, in obedience, do what we can, when it is accompanied by the efforts or with God's help that we sow the seeds, I think there is peace that comes from knowing that God is in control. There is freedom from guilt from sowing good seeds than it is in sowing to the flesh. Even when we've planted our gardens, it doesn't work just to leave them by themselves or neglect them. It takes cultivation, pulling of weeds, and irrigation. You know, and so it is. We can't sit back. We need to continue with the work. There is cultivation. There is a continuation of sowing seeds. But I think that the greatest reward is in the spiritual harvest. As it says there, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. To see a lost soul come home is one of the greatest, the most joyous event I can think of here on earth. And even more than that, what could be more wonderful and that we are anticipating than for us to reap that life everlasting for in that day that when Christ will come again? We have opportunity today to sow. Someday we're going to reap. What am I sowing today? Will what I am sowing today be what I want to reap in the future? Tomorrow will be past. Tomorrow, today will be past, if I get it said right. We no longer will have that opportunity. The challenge I'd like to leave with you today is that we sow today that we will have no regrets in the future.